It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A million miles away from Earth, the James Webb Space Telescope is taking images of the universe, showing us what it looked like over 13 billion years ago, close to the Big Bang and the beginning of time itself. The latest images from the telescope are closer to home with a look at Jupiter, the biggest planet in our solar system. We're taking a look now at what we've learned from the James Webb Telescope, Jupiter and beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following the saga of the James Webb Telescope? How about the images that have been coming out lately? Do you have a favorite? Do you have one you want to ask about? Call it at 800-642-1234. If you're a backyard astronomer, love to hear from you and what you've been looking at lately. 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@WPR.org. Thomas Beatty is an assistant professor of astronomy at UW-Madison. He helped build the camera on the James Webb Telescope that took those photos of Jupiter we're going to talk about. Thomas, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
And I should also say welcome to Wisconsin. You're brand new on the faculty at UW-Madison, I believe.
That's right. We just moved up here this month, so it's nice to be back up with trees instead of cactuses.
Well, we've got this welcome for you with these new images of Jupiter. What was your reaction to seeing these photos of the big planet using a camera you helped make?
It's super exciting. I think, you know, we have spent the last 7 months since JWST, the Webb, launched, checking out the instrument and making sure it worked. And now we're finally getting these amazing images from it of Jupiter and everything else in the sky. So it's very exciting to see this and see that it's performing as well as we could have hoped.
Before we dig more into Jupiter, I want to talk about the capabilities of this telescope. It seems like it's a game changer for astronomy. What is it that makes it so different than even, you know, the Hubble?
So the big difference for any telescope, the thing that matters is how big is the mirror? How much light can it collect? And the big difference between James Webb and Hubble is that James Webb has a mirror that is 10 times larger. And we also observe at different wavelengths. So this is giving us, you know, a 10 times roughly better view of what's out there in the universe.
I've heard the argument that in the future we're going to talk about astronomy before the Webb telescope and after. I mean, is it that stark a difference, do you think?
Well, you know, it's always hard to predict the future in science, but if I had to guess, I think that's exactly right. I think in 5 years, I think the textbooks are going to be completely different. I think that Webb is going to just blow everything out of the water compared to what we know now. So it's a very exciting time to be doing astronomy.
All right, let's steer us back toward Jupiter now, but not too close. It's big. What kind of things are we seeing in these images? What kind of things are we hoping to learn about Jupiter?
So in these images, what you can see is, so first off, you see the beautiful cloud bands on Jupiter. We've seen before from spacecraft and from the ground and from Hubble, but we're really seeing them in a way that we've never seen before. We're observing at different wavelengths of light, so sort of different colors, which lets us see different parts of the atmosphere. So we can see these bands of clouds. We can see the vortices in the clouds. That tells us about what the clouds are made out of, how the weather on Jupiter, works. Which we don't understand very well. We also can see the auroras on the top and the bottom. That tells us about Jupiter's magnetic field. Ultimately, all of this is telling us about what is happening inside Jupiter. What is it made out of? How does its atmosphere work? And really what we want to try and get at is how is Jupiter formed? Because that really tells us about how planets are formed in the solar system and everywhere in the universe.
Yeah, it's a gas giant. Giant because it's big. Gas because it's mostly gas. What is it that led to the formation of a gas giant, say, instead of a planet like a rocky planet like Earth or a star?
So that's a very good question, Rob, and something that a lot of people in here at UW are working on right now. When planets form, sometimes they form into planets like Earth. Sometimes they form into planets like Jupiter. The dividing line there is actually not well understood. There's actually a term. It's called runaway accretion, where if you get big enough, you can accrete gas. You can gather gas and form into a giant planet. And why some planets do that and why some planets don't is not something that's well understood at the moment. So it's something we're hoping to learn from images like these.
We are talking about the newest images from the James Webb Space Telescope. Thomas Beattie is with us from the Astronomy Department at UW-Madison. You can join in with your questions, what you've thought of the images so far. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Luke is with us in Duluth. Luke, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Beautiful images coming from the telescope. So I've seen some articles saying that some of the discoveries from the web could call into question the Big Bang itself. I'm just wondering if there's any merit to that or to kind of expound on what that might be talking to. I don't know any of the evidence myself, so thank you.
Luke, thanks for the call. I've seen those notions going around there, and I've seen articles debunking the notion that it's debunking the Big Bang. Thomas, what does this tell us about the earliest days of the universe?
Well, so Webb is going to be really give us an exquisite view into the earliest days of the universe. Luke, to your question about whether or not it's going to debunk the Big Bang, I will say the Big Bang at this point, I think, is pretty settled. Webb is not going to debunk the Big Bang. What it will do, though, is really allow us to push really close to that event and see for the first time some of the first stars and some of the first galaxies forming in the process of coming together, which is going to give us a much better idea of some of the timescales that are happening very early on in the universe's life and some of the mechanics of how the Big Bang occurred. But Webb is not going to disprove the Big Bang, but it will give us a much better understanding of what happened at very early times in the universe.
Luke, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And Thomas, that reminds me of one of the mind-blowing things about looking deep into space that I sort of get and yet don't get. The further the distance the stars or galaxies we're looking at, the further back in time we're looking at. Do I have that about right?
That's right. It's a great game to play. It's we get to just sit here and watch the whole universe evolve around us. It happens because light travels. Light has a speed. It's 186,000 miles per second, which seems incredibly fast. But on the scales of outer space, that's relatively slow. It takes light 8 minutes to get to us from the sun. It would take several hours to cross the solar system. So when you look at these galaxies that are a billion light years away, that means that the light has been traveling to us for a billion years. So we are seeing them, the light that was emitted a billion years ago. So as you look further away, the light has required longer to get to us. And so that's why we can see, I'm doing air quotes, further back into the history of the universe. So it's an amazing trick that allows us to see the universe evolve around us without us having to really move anywhere or do anything. We just need to look up and see what the universe is telling us.
We're talking about the latest James Webb images. With one of the scientists who helped build one of the telescope's cameras, the infrared one, Thomas Beattie, who's an assistant professor of astronomy at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how we see into space, what we're learning from this new telescope, or a question about what we could learn from it? Have you been following the images? Have any struck you in particular that you maybe want to know more about? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Thomas Beattie, an assistant professor of astronomy at UW-Madison. He helped build the infrared camera on the James Webb Telescope. We're talking about the images that camera has taken so far, what the images teach us about the universe. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love Central Time. I had a question. I'm wondering, what's next after James Webb? I know I'm getting a little far in the future, but is there any ideas of maybe another telescope, something more advanced, something maybe with a bigger mirror? That's my question. I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Jack, thanks. There's a long road to get to the Webb telescope. Thomas, what could be next?
That's a very good question, Jack. That's something that everybody in astronomy is thinking a lot about right now. So there is one mission that's going to come up large mission. So usually things are divided up into sort of 10-year time spans for astronomy. The next one is going to be a mission called the Roman Space Telescope, which is going to look at really deep into the universe and really probe what's going on in other galaxies and how galaxies form. And after that, there's very general plans for sort of the next generation of Hubble and Webb, something that, you know, could be a 6 or 8 or 16 meter diameter mirror. Hubble is 2.4 meters and Webb is 6 meters. So something even larger than Webb, which would be very exciting, but that probably won't happen at least for another 15 or 20 years. These have pretty long lead times on these missions.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Thomas, I understand a lot of your research is looking for exoplanets. So planets like we have in our solar system, but in other solar systems. Do you have hopes that the Webb can help find some of those?
Yeah, it's funny. Looking at these Jupiter images, it's a much more closer to home version of what I work on day to day. So Webb, we're not going to be using it to, what we're going to be using it to is look at planets that we know are there, and we're going to look at their atmospheres. And so we're going to try and figure out what are these planets made out of. You know, usually when we find a planet, we know how big it is, how heavy it is, but we have no idea if it's got an atmosphere, if it's like the Earth, for instance, or if it's like Venus, which are very similar in our solar system. But Venus, if you land on it, your spacecraft melts 5 minutes later. But Earth is a nice place to visit. And so we're going to be looking at those. We're going to be looking at giant planets, and we're going to be trying to figure out what planets might be like the Earth, and we're going to be trying to better understand how planets are formed in general.
And did I see you wrote a thing on trying to detect something like Earth? Like if somebody else is looking for Earth, they might be able to find something interesting about us by looking at our night side and all the lights we've got. How would we look for that on other planets?
I did write something on that, Rob. So that actually goes back to that caller's question about the next generation space telescope. So some of the plans for the bigger next gen space telescope with the larger mirrors, would be able to see night lights or city lights on the night sides of some of these planets. So we know that there are some potentially habitable planets, planets that are about the same size as the Earth at about the right distance from their stars, around nearby stars. And so with these next-gen telescopes, we could look at the night sides, and if they're using city lights like we see here on Earth, we could possibly detect that emission. They'd have to have a lot more cities than on Earth, probably 10 times as much as we have on Earth right now. But that would be one way to, we call it a technosignature, one way to technologically determine that there's life elsewhere in the universe.
Now, NASA, we've been talking about images. NASA dropped an audio clip, apparently the sound of a black hole region. Now, this is, we're going to give a listen to what they released. This is bumped up 50-some octaves. The actual sound would be way too low for humans to hear. Here's a little taste of what they released. You probably had a content warning on this. It's kind of disturbing. Now, I always thought, Thomas, there's no sound in space. Sound doesn't travel, but NASA says no, it can. Why?
Well, you're right, Rob. They had to do some modification on this. So what we're listening to, what we were just listening to there, is in every galaxy that we see, there is a black hole in the center of it, including in our own galaxy, in the Milky Way. There's a big, giant black hole in the center of all the galaxies. And around that is all this gas that's falling into it. And on Earth, when we hear sound, what that is that's the air vibrating around us. So that's the reason why there's no sound in space, because there's no air in space. But if you have a black hole that has all this gas falling into it, what we're listening to is that gas does vibrate. There are pressure waves, exactly like sound in the air, passing through it. The big difference is that the sound that we just heard is, had to be stepped up in frequency by a factor of about 100 billion, I believe, to be able to be heard, right? It wouldn't be something we could hear. It's super low frequency. But if you step it up, then you get that super eerie sound that we were just listening to. That sort of is the sound of what a black hole makes.
On a practical level, if I'm an astronomer, I'm not, but if I was, and I wanted to get some time with the Webb to point it in the directions that I wanted to, what goes into that? How do you make that kind of reservation?
Well, you know, Rob, you and I could write a proposal. So, I mean, the way it works is you write, anybody in the U.S., can write a proposal, including you, Rob, or any of the listeners could write a proposal to NASA and submit it. And you just, you know, you get 3 to 6 pages of text to argue for why you think, you should be allowed to get some amount of time, you know, 10 hours of James Webb time to point it where you want. And, then it's actually relatively democratic. Those proposals go in and then they get, a bunch of other astronomers, usually people who have not written proposals for James Webb, to then review all of them and decide, what gets selected and what isn't. And I've served on a bunch of those panels, like for the Hubble Space Telescope, where we review other people's, proposals. And, usually it's a pretty good discussion. So it's a pretty democratic system that usually ends up being pretty fair, but you know, there's always some outliers, but that's generally how it works. And it's a lot of work around proposal time, but, you get good science out of it, so it's all worth it.
And just our last half a minute or so, what are you excited to learn next from the Webb Telescope?
Well, like I said, I work on exoplanets. I think our understanding of exoplanets, planets outside the solar system, what makes a habitable planet, how planets are formed, is going to be completely different 5 years from now than it is today. And we're just starting that journey, literally like today. So it's a very exciting time to be a part of this field.
Thomas, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Thomas Beattie, assistant professor of astronomy at UW-Madison. He helped build one of the cameras on the James Webb Telescope. He talked to us about the pictures the telescope has taken so far, including those images of Jupiter and more.